presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And summer is off and running in Brevard County, Florida. School's out, Memorial Day is past, and we are on into the summer heat season. Hurricane season will be beginning here in just a couple of days. I always know when it's hurricane season because that's my anniversary. So it's like, oh, what a way to remember that. But anyway, we trust that y'all have had a great weekend and now you're back. It's good news. It's a short work week for most folks. Just a 4-day work week. And by the way, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. And if you ever feel inclined to help support this radio program, you are more than welcome to. It is a ministry that we do. It is not a money-making endeavor. It is a negative it is a negative ledger line on the balance sheet. But we do it because we love the Word of God and we love bringing it to you. And so if you ever feel so inclined to make a donation or anything like that, you can send that to 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Assembly of God. Not required. We launched this ministry by faith, and for 3.5 years now, it has been going by faith and sustained by faith, and we continue to operate that way. So, let me tell you one more time. I want to tell you as many times as I can about our 65th anniversary celebration, June 10th, 6:30 p.m., Jerry Hill of Together in the Harvest Ministries, part of the Brownsville Revival back from 1995 to 2000, where 150,000 people over a 5-year period of time gave their heart to Jesus Christ. People were traveling from all over the globe to get into that revival meeting. And we now have Steve Hill's widow, Jerry Hill, who is going to be coming in ministry on June the 10th, 6:30 p.m., June 11th at 10:30 a.m., 165 North Grove Street. We would love to have you come and join us. And listen, if you think that that this was just a family that was raised in ministry and it was just part of the family business, then you don't know their story about what God brought them out of, what God used them to accomplish. And no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, Jerry Hill's ministry is going to minister to you. And we're believing it's going to be a great time. We're asking people to join us in getting the word out, as well as planning on attending and supporting that in prayer. Now, this coming Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and we are looking forward to that. That will be June the 4th, and I will be preaching in the morning service. We will be having our evening service that night as well. It'll be a special prayer emphasis leading up to our revival encounter on June the 10th and 11th. So that's a few things that we've got going on. We've got some great things planned for the summer as we're making transitions in our ministries, shifting assignments and responsibilities. And we're believing that just like when you shift the gear on a manual transmission in a car so that you can go faster than you've ever gone before, that's what this transition is going to be, is that we're going to be able to do more. So our youth and children's ministers have taken a missions position up in Ohio, and so that is what has predicated this change. And so we are praying God's blessing upon them, and we are looking for what God has for us. And so, by the way, we would love to have you join us for any one of those services. I want to take you in the word today to Isaiah, the 65th chapter, a fantastic chapter of scripture. And so I'm going to share, like I've done with every chapter, going to read this for you, and then we'll come back and begin our discussion on it. Chapter 65, the book of Isaiah, verse number 1 says, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts. A people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of bricks, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will repay, even repay into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore, I will measure their former work into their bosom. Thus says the Lord. As the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah an heir of my mountains. My elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down, for my people who have sought me. But you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for Gad, and who furnish a drink offering for many. By the way, those are two capitalized words. Therefore, I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and wail for grief of spirit. And you shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen. For the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards. They shall eat fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lions shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. What a phenomenal passage of scripture. And there is so much in here. It is it's going to take us a while to get through all of Isaiah chapter 65. What a tremendous passage of scripture. So let's begin at the beginning, shall we? Verse number one, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. And really, that is what the ministry of Jesus was all about. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. So when the religious leadership rejected him, when the scribes, the Pharisees, the lawyers, they all pitted themselves in animosity and enmity against him, hostility against him, he would be found ministering to people to such an extent that he was known as the friend of sinners. Now, let me tell you this. That doesn't mean he was a friend to sin. He never embraced sin. He embraced broken human beings who were sinners. And then he would tell them, after he had forgiven them, go and sin no more. Okay? And so today, I want to be one of those people that God can say, you didn't ask for me, but I found you. I've heard that one of the ways that it is a very accurate way to describe people who are not yet walking with the Lord is that they are the sought after, that God is looking for them. It doesn't matter how many sheep are in the fold. As long as there is one more sheep, one more person that needs to be forgiven of their sins, Jesus is an active pursuit of them to find them where they are, to call out to them and have them reach out for him. And he said, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I don't know if you have ever had an experience like I have, where I have looked for something diligently and could not find it. And then all of a sudden it is blam, right there. I end up finding something that is extremely precious, and I wasn't even looking for it. And I've had that experience. I've got one in particular right now that's very important to me, and I'm just so thankful that I found what I needed even when I wasn't looking for it. And I've got good news for you today. If you have not yet asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, he is right there. He said, I will draw near to you if you will draw near to me. He said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, even though I'm not far away. Thank God that he is not far away. He is one prayer away from your heart. And so I've known people who said, I am not going to pursue a relationship with Jesus. And yet when they came to the end of their road, they came to the end of themselves, they found that Jesus was there waiting for them. And so I just want to build some faith in people, because most families have somebody that is not walking where they should be with the Lord. And I want you to know God's on the case. God is on the case. The Holy Spirit is moving in their life and in their circumstances. And I just want to encourage you today, don't be fearful and don't fret. You just seek God's face. You continue to draw near to God. And I can tell you from personal experience that there have been times when I was so active in the pursuit of people who were not walking with God. I'm not talking my normal pursuit. I'm talking about hyper pursuit, very, very active. And for some reason, God speaks to me in dreams a lot. It's not that I'm lazy. I don't feel lazy. I don't believe that I am, but there's a lot of times where I have dreams. I preached a message one time that said, was that dream from God or was it the pizza? And you know, not every dream is from God, but this was a very vivid journey that I was on. And God, during that process, revealed two things. First of all, it revealed that I was supposed to take a specific course of action that was outside my normal operating procedures. And so I said yes to that. And the second was that the devil, even though I was walking with God and was pastoring a church, that the devil had not given up on pursuing me. He was looking to snatch me from a relationship with God. And I want to thank God that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And so when I realized that I had a course that was set before me and God was telling me that I was also the target, then I realized that the thing that I needed to do was exactly what God had said for me to do. And I'm not going to tell you what that is because, you know, God knows each and every situation. He knows the keys to people's hearts. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring a person who is not walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ to that place of repentance. And so there is not a one-size-fits-all strategy any more than my house key will work in the key to your house. At least I hope it doesn't, because that means that yours works to my house. And so God knows that person's experiences. He knows their hurts, their pains, their broken dreams. He knows everything there is about it. And so it is very important for you and I to be having a spirit of discernment about us, to know what the Holy Spirit is saying, because there's going to be one strategy for Nicodemus's. There's going to be another strategy for the woman at the well. There's another strategy for the thief on the cross. There was another strategy that Paul employed when in Philippi, when he was being pursued by the girl with the spirit by which she foretold the future. There was an entirely different strategy to redeem Paul. And so it's very important for us to be in direct communication with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the commander in chief. If all else fails, follow the instructions. And if all else doesn't fail, follow the instructions. So God says here, he said, here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. Here God makes it very clear that he was not just reaching out for a small group of people, but he was reaching out for people that he wanted to be sovereign over them as well. Say, you haven't walked in covenant relationship with me like these others have, but I'm calling out to you. I'm saying, here I am. Here I am. I don't know everything that God is saying from the throne, but I can tell you this. Today he is saying, here I am. I'm right now. I'm on the throne right now. I'm crying out that I'm declaring it to a people that have not yet said yes to my lordship. Can I just ask a quick question? Are unbelievers welcome in your church? Are unbelievers, because unbelievers are welcome at Merit Assembly of God. They are. I worked for a pastor who wanted to put up on the church sign, what this church needs is a few more good sinners. And I don't know that he ever put that up there, but he told me that he really wanted to put that sign up there, because we are in the redemption business. And if people don't come to church and learn how to walk in fellowship without being beat up and condemned, and I have seen that. I have seen it, and it grieved my heart, where believers launched out and they thought they were doing a good thing, and they were actually doing harm because they didn't have relationship with people. I encourage you, if you're going to speak correction to somebody, have a relationship with them and allow the Holy Spirit to bring them to that place where they'll say, you know, how do I get through this situation? How do I handle that situation? And so my demeanor changes whenever somebody messes with my wife, messes with my kids, my grandkids, or if they mess with people in the church. My demeanor changes substantially, shall we say, because I take my responsibility as covering very, very seriously. So we need to make sure that people who do not know Jesus are welcome in our churches so that they can learn to walk with Jesus. Verse number 2 says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people. So we're going to look here, beginning from verse 2 through verse 5. We're not going to be able to get through all of this today, about the type of people that God has reached his hands out to, because that's what he says. I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people. And quite frankly, that's what happened on the cross, is Jesus was stretched out for the salvation of a rebellious world. Rebellion is whenever you know that there's something you're supposed to be doing and you refuse to do it. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It is not an insignificant event. And I have this analogy, if you will, about the most dangerous time in a believer's life. And that is whenever they begin to go through spiritual adolescence. Okay? You know, we're in a season right now where we're watching our grandchild grow up, and right now, you know, they're pretty compliant. I mean, as long as they have something to play with, something to eat, as long as they're getting their diaper changed and they have the opportunity to take a nap, they're a pretty happy camper. But there's going to come a time, there comes a time in every child's life where they're in that in-between stage between when I was a child, I thought like a child, and when I was an adult, I thought like an adult, and I put away childish things. There's that transition period of time there where they're not quite adult. By the way, that age is 18. that's when you are classified as an adult here in America. Okay, and so they're not there yet. And even in, you know, the sociological studies that I was looking at when I was doing youth ministry, was saying that young people's brains are not fully wired correctly until age 24. Now, I will tell you this, there were kids who weren't 24 yet who were using that as an excuse to continue to do stupid stuff. Okay. If you're using something as an excuse, don't do it. Allow God to rewire that. And so there's childhood and there's adulthood, and spiritual adolescence is in that season in between. And it's that season where you begin to operate in the kind of the mindset of, don't tell me what to do. I'm smart enough to figure out everything that I know. You know, I thought about it here not too long ago. When I was 18, the people that I went to school with, we thought we had everything all figured out. So I'm not just preaching at people. I'm sharing with you my personal experience. And I want you to know, I didn't know a lot of stuff. There was a teacher that I had in high school that said, the more you know, the more you know the things you don't know, or that there are things you don't know. And now in my 50s, I realize just how much I need to maintain a teachable spirit, a humble spirit, because I don't want to rebel against God. It's one thing to rebel against authority. It's one thing to rebel against others, you know, that you have a relationship with, but it is an entirely different level if you rebel against God. And here God says, I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people. I am very thankful that God is long-suffering. And today, if you are not walking with God, I've got good news for you. He is a patient God. He is working with you, not because he's endorsing your rebellion, but he so loves you that he is still stretching his hand out. Right now, this broadcast is an invitation from him to cease in rebellion and embrace a life of holiness, of forgiveness, and obedience. Don't you think that it's time to say, you know what, God, I've made a big enough mess out of this situation. The Bible says wisdom is proved right by all her actions. And so I just want to ask you right now, is there anything in your life that you might need to get on your knee and say, God, you know what? You know how to do marriage better than I do. You know how to do eternal life better than I do. You know how to handle finances better than I do. God, you know how to raise kids better than I do. God, you know how to produce wealth better than I do. You know how to restore health better than I do. God, I don't want to stop rebelling against you, and I want to embrace the way that you, I want to embrace your ways today. Let's pray. Father, today we want to thank you that you are a God who desires to be found. And God, I pray that right now that we would say yes to your invitation to come under your authority, to come into a saving relationship with you. God, I pray today that we would cease our rebellious ways and we would say yes to walking in the path you've chosen for us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.